Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I'm back in my hole.
Back in your hole.
I've scuttled back to my dungeon, my hole. My hole in the ground.
Nobody knows that you left, really.
I know. The faithful ones will. But you also know.
I don't think that anyone listening to this keeps up with where you are in your house anywhere near as much as you think they do.
They should. That way they can kind of keep tabs on me and know when I'm out of the house, come rob the place.
Tanner's been out of his podcasting hole for a week because there are men in his house and he's scared of them. And I'll just tell everyone that that's true. And that is the case. And fucking
is true.
Tell me it's a lie.
But that's not why I'm not. That's not why I couldn't use my podcasting.
There are men in his house fixing his pipes.
They taped up like dust tape. Like dust wrap.
He's afraid of the men. Sure. But are you or are you not afraid of the men in your house?
Well, they're gone now, so I can confidently say no.
Okay.
Because they can never hurt me again.
Yeah.
They didn't hurt me. They were very polite, and they helped me fix my house, which was broken. But now I'm back home. I'm back in my home environment, back on home turf.
Yeah.
You seem like you're checked out, Jack. What? I guess, quick question for you.
Yes.
How much is it going to cost?
How much is it going to cost? My rate, actually, much like Julia Roberts,
for the
is
next
$100
an
hour. That's true. We have the same rate. Not adjusted for inflation. So there you go.
You're going to cut that, right? How much to have you for the next hour and a half?
I guess $100.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it. Now we can relax.
We watched Pretty Woman this week. I guess I should, I should address it because you've heard an episode in between now and then, but I didn't have any power for a week. It's kind of interesting because it's not
terribly interesting.
An ordeal.
But yeah, Jack didn't have power for a week, so we didn't record, and you obviously noticed the absence of an episode 2 weeks
ago. A couple weeks
ago.
Yeah.
But now we're back in our stride. You also probably heard, unless he artfully grafted it in.
Yeah.
We were planning once again to watch something else, and then once again, we just like fucked off.
In the cold light
it,
of day, we were like, let's watch a classic. Let's watch a stone cold
classic. Well, you know
classic.
What we realized? There was a whole America's Sweetheart like going stale on the shelf over here. Like we've done Sandra Bullock. We've done Reese. We've done Drew.
We've done
Meg.
Meg Ryan. Yeah.
Who are we missing?
Yeah.
We haven't, our collection's America's not Sweetheart. Complete.
Yeah.
Julia
Do you
Roberts.
Know that I watched Notting Hill earlier this week just because?
Wow. You know, you could have just been like, when I was like, let's watch something else, you could have just said, okay, how about Notting Hill?
The way that conversation went was you said you wanted to do a Julia Roberts movie, and inexplicably you said, Either of the two Julia Roberts, I guess, classics in your mind, Pretty Woman and My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yeah. What would you do?
Of course. And I, in
I think what I meant was Runaway Bride.
Okay. As that discussion was getting going, I said to you, I think Notting Hill is one of my favorite movies. And then you said, that's weird, and then hung up. Just exited out of the Zoom. And I was like, okay, I guess that really hit a sour note for him.
I don't remember that.
Hey, folks, it's Jack here. Just cutting in. I was doing the edit, and it occurred to me that we record all our Zoom conversations as a backup in case we lose an audio file. So I guess I'm in a position to pull that audio now, and we can all take a listen and see whether it was, in fact, weird.
So do you want to do what? Sense and Sensibility or Pretty Woman for tomorrow? Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Okay. I just rewatched Notting Hill. Man, what a fucking absolute banger. It might be my favorite movie.
What? That's a huge statement.
It's an incredible movie. I've seen it like 20 times.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I think you have become distracted by something else.
Was our conversation over?
It was, yeah, it was coming to an end. But I kind of wanted to throw out that Notting Hill trial balloon. And you were like, huh, I have nothing to add to this. This is the end of it. But I'll put it to you. Notting Hill is a masterpiece of American cinema starring America's sweetheart, Julia Roberts, who's also in this film, another masterpiece of American cinema,
well,
Pretty Woman.
Everyone's
seen it. Everyone loves it. Tanner's a gearhead.
You probably could have. Yeah, I'm a gearhead. Pretty good joke. I pitched it to Jack. I soft pitched it to Jack before we started.
Yeah, Tanner soft pitched it to me. I don't want to take credit for that. Yeah, he's a gearhead, spelled G-E-R-E. Yeah, join the party.
Yeah. The thing about what we were just talking about, which was, as you'll remember,
Notting Hill is good.
Here's the thing, Jack, and no one cares.
Everyone
I didn't know she
cares.
Was in Notting Hill. I didn't know. I thought this was a typical like Jack like being like an intellectual, like an intellectual non sequitur. Oh, hey, while we're just like here talking as sophisticates, I should say.
Notting Hill.
No, I love Notting Hill.
Films.
You didn't advocate for it.
I think the reaction was really appeared really strong. It you said something like, that's weird. I said Notting Hill is one of my favorite films.
It surely
films,
was not
said,
about that.
That's
I
weird.
I think of nothing. You know what? That is kind of weird for that to be one of your favorite films. Think of all the cinema out there.
I think you'll find, and listeners, please weigh in the comments, that many people absolutely fucking adore that wonderful movie.
Well, you know what fucking wonderful movie I adore that I watched today?
Pretty Woman.
The Julia Roberts movie we did watch, which was Pretty Woman, good. Which was enchanting.
It's enchanting, yeah. I guess we could say the movie, but should we just get this out of the way? Should we get that? We've got some academic work to do.
Okay.
Do you want to get that out of the way now?
Sure. What kind of academic work?
I'm
not very good at academic work, I'll say.
Talk about retellings of the Pygmalion myth through the ages.
Yes. Okay. Pygmalion. Got it. Okay. I'm gonna bebop and Scott right along with you, see if I can keep up.
Okay. So I was thinking about that concept a good deal throughout the watch of this film. And so much
the
so
concept
that after,
of Pygmalia.
The concept of retelling Pygmalion through the ages, what it says about us. I tried to find some sort of Freudian readings of Pygmalion. Couldn't find them on short notice, so we're just gonna kinda wing it here.
Okay.
But I was interested enough in the concept that
there was a PS1 game called War Pigs that I played a lot.
It's
kind of like a
my
tactical
old
shooter.
Battered copy
he's got
here.
Metamorphosis by
Seas by Ovid. And reread the Pygmalion myth, and I was struck. And you've seen, of course, some version of My Fair Lady.
Oh yeah, I actually have seen that.
Yeah, and then also Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah.
But
Lady and the Tramp.
The thing that I was struck by, and I think this could be a good way to table set, if I may use that as an intransitive verb for this conversation, is that in rereading the Ovid, people always talk about My Fair Lady and to an extent Pretty Woman as retellings of Pygmalion. But I think they're not so much modern retellings, but instructive.
Remind me, I've obviously seen Pygmalion a million times.
Mm.
I've seen it a million times.
Okay.
But remind me how it goes again.
Well, let me say the sentence. I think that this is not so much a modern retelling of Pygmalion as it is an instructive subversion of it.
Okay.
In Ovid's telling.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Ovid's telling, and I think we'll read the we can read the Ovid myth together rather than me telling you. Though I should warn you, it's very quite sexy. So we may need to find
maybe
a way to tone it down a bit.
Dusting off. like some old characters.
Yeah. But I will say, and you'll know this from our reading, in Ovid's telling, Pygmalion is shocked by the vices of women and turns away from his natural libidinous impulses to find love in art. Right?
Okay.
A statue. He makes a statue. He makes a sexy statue.
Oh, he jerks off to it?
It's very onanistic in a way, which is not true of this. This is expressly copulative. But I think the Pygmalion myth is in some ways
onanistic. Oh, he makes like a hole in the statue.
That's not.
What do you mean by copulative?
I always just land this point. It's actually not much of a point, but I do think it's a good table setting for our conversation. Both Henry
I'm
Higgins.
I'm still a little lost on the Pygmalia stuff. So does he? He makes a statue he can have sex with, and that's the whole story?
He is. The thing that's interesting, or the thing that I caught
on to. And that
is
what we keep retelling? And how is that related to Pretty Woman?
The thing that I caught on to in this rereading of Pygmalion is that it begins. Here, I'll read you the beginning of it. But we should probably read the whole thing and have two prude dudes kind of de-sexify it because it's very hot.
Yeah, I think so. Sounds like it's going to be really steamy.
So here's how it begins. When Pygmalion saw these women living such wicked lives, he was revolted by the many faults which nature has implanted in the female sex and long lived a bachelor existence without any wife to share his home. But meanwhile, with marvelous artistry, he skillfully carved a snowy ivory statue. So he is disgusted by his sexual impulses and suppresses them by making a beautiful statue. Meanwhile, you got Richard Gere here, who finds a real sexy, pretty woman and uses artifice to cover her over and make her palatable to whatever his idea of society is. And in some ways makes her, I think, less authentic to herself.
Wow. I think it's sort of explicitly the movie is about how he does not do that.
Okay.
And sort of invites her into this world to disrupt it.
Trying to find an angle.
Sounds like you don't know the fucking Pygmalion myth at all.
Do you want to read it and unsexify it, or let's
do it.
Let's say the film first for folks who haven't seen it or haven't seen it in a while. It's pretty
basic.
Yeah,
okay. It's just Pygmalia. If you've seen Pygmalia, you've seen
it's
this
Pygmalion.
Guy like hates that women are so sexy and decides to go like Sigma and then like makes himself like a statue that he can have sex with. And that's the whole story.
That's the whole
Pretty
story.
Woman.
Yeah.
No, here's what happens actually.
Yeah.
There is a guy called Richard Gere. And his middle name we just learned is, what was
Tiffany.
It? Tiffany. Interesting.
I'm taking that on something you've told me. So if it's not true.
It says it on Wikipedia.
Jenna. Okay. Richard Tiffany Gere.
He's this tough as nails exec.
Literal billionaire.
And he's no mercy, cutthroat.
He's got real 50 Shades of Grey energy.
Also very warm and charming and like incredibly kind to everyone he meets.
I think he has a distance,
including
to
some of his like business, people he's going up against competitively in business.
Okay. I think he is
incredibly
a little
warm.
Bit cold. Yes. Okay.
I should mention, I am a gearhead.
You're a gearhead, so we're gonna get a slightly skewed take.
And it is G-E-R-E, thank you. And I was saving it for that kind of delivery. So thank you, Jack.
Yeah, I really stepped on your joke there.
No, but he is really nice. They're both like the whole movie is supposed to be how she's like a sex worker with a heart of gold, but he's like a really like ruthless, cutthroat executive with a heart of gold too.
Yes.
I think he's really nice. You thought like
no, I think he's cold.
I mean I get that he's supposed to be a bad guy, but he's like pretty nice.
I think he's quite charming. He works too hard. He's a workaholic. He steals George Costanza's car.
Yeah, George
Costanza. That's
Costanza's
how the movie begins.
Playing George Costanza.
Yeah.
And he steals his like Ferrari or whatever.
He takes his Ferrari and he gets lost in the inner city. And Julia Roberts is there plying her trade. And he asks her for directions. And she's like, that'll be $20. This is before MapQuest.
He seems to lack any instinct for risk. You know, he's like, yeah, sure. Like, get in the car.
Yeah.
And then like he gets to his like fancy hotel and he just like brings her in. Doesn't give a shit that like all the like hoity toity people's like monocles are all popping out. You know, like he doesn't care about his standing in society. I guess that's maybe what you get when you're like an ultra billionaire like he is.
And then so he pays for her to stay the night, which is $300.
Wow.
She's
what year was this movie? 1990.
He literally takes her to the penthouse of the fanciest hotel in the city, like from his Ferrari. And he's like, how much for the night? And she's like, you couldn't afford it.
How much for the entire night?
Stay here. You couldn't afford it.
Try me. $300.
Done. Thank you. Now we can relax.
It's $300. He's like, okay, I think I can fucking swing that.
I think this is also after he's already admitted that he's like trying to buy a billion-dollar company.
She's a naive. And they have relations. We're just going to have to say that.
She like immediately whips out the like condoms and is like, let's get it done. And he's like, no, like, let's chill. I'm going to do my taxes. You watch Lucy episodes. And then we're going to have a psychosexual like adventure where we watch Lucy.
And then we will have relations.
Yeah. And then they do have relations.
And then he pays for her for the whole week, during which they fall in love. The end.
So nice.
So nice. Yeah. You know, there's famous scene where she goes shopping that's very famous on Rodeo Drive, and everyone's mean to her and they look down on her because of her
profession.
Oh, but
then she's got this buddy who works at the hotel.
Oh, yeah, he's fun.
He's nice. He's like the manager of the hotel. And first he's like horrified that there's this like unrefined person in his hotel lobby. But then he ends up like helping her class up. And then they really form a really nice friendship. This is such a nice movie.
It's nice.
For a movie about like a corporate shark.
Does it age well? I don't know.
Who's like in Hollywood on a mission to destroy an old man's like legacy.
Yeah. He becomes a nicer businessman and is nice to the other businessmen later in the end of the movie.
Except George Costanza, who he does punch in the face.
Richard Gere reveals to George Costanza alone, who's his lawyer, that Julia Roberts is not, in fact, his girlfriend, but is a sex worker. And George Costanza treats her like absolute garbage and gets punched in the face rightly.
And then kicked out of the movie, essentially.
Kicked out of the movie, but he's still quite rich.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think the thing you kind of have to accept about this movie is that, like, to buy into the narrative, we're all just sort of filthy rich.
We're all filthy
rich. Like, we're just driving around our, like, Ferraris, you know, and, like, throwing around money and buying million-dollar companies.
Okay.
Let's talk about what it has to do with this guy having sex with a statue.
Yes, perfect. Yeah, I knew that would be a stick in the back of your mind.
Oh, there was a nice part at the end. Just go watch it. It's really nice. It ends really nice.
Yeah,
he, like, climbs the fire escape to, like, sweep her off her feet after, like, you know, trying to just, like, keep her as, like, a side piece.
I think that he's afraid of intimacy and is enacting this sort of male... Like, there's a very telling moment in the film where he's beautifully playing the piano. And she comes downstairs and she's like,
I didn't know you played.
And he says,
I only play for strangers.
And that's, you know, that's the thing for both of them, I guess, is they're only comfortable sort of showing their true selves.
Cool thing to say.
In front of strangers.
If I were sitting there at the bar and I heard him say that, I'd be like, oh, Jesus, I need to use that. I gotta learn how to play the piano.
Yeah. But so let's read this origin story, since you've been asking. You want to know about this man who fucks a statue. I want you
to know
about
it. Well, you fucking like set it up like that.
Yeah.
Of course I want to know about it.
But it's kind of dirty. It's kind of filthy. It's kind of a little bit too sexy. It's what this sexy movie is. I think based on all the people in Rotten Tomatoes were like, it's a Cinderella story. No, it's a Pygmalion story.
Yeah, obviously. It's just like the PS1 game, War Pigs.
So I'll just tell you this story that I think this film is based on by reading it, but we got to desexify it. So in order to do that, we need to bring in our old friends. The Two Prude Dudes.
Oh, God.
It's been a while.
We've done this show now for like over a year, and I wonder if my like tolerance for this stuff, you know, like... I've seen P and V, I've seen V and P, I've seen like D and like V and P.
Okay, wow.
Like P and P, like V's and D's and P's.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm wondering if I can even like get in this prude mindset anymore, but I'm going to try.
Okay, well, Ovid is famously sexy.
It sounds like it's going to make me really horny.
Yeah. Dude fucks a statue. Okay, let's get the prude dudes in here, and we will tell the story of Pygmalion, but taking out the sexy parts and making it palatable for human ears. And for folks who are listening to the podcast at the dinner table. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp.
Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign. And a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Knock, knock, knock. It's Creek. Hello, it's me, Tanner Greenring. I'm a prude dude. I'm a Midwestern born and raised. Nice Minnesota family. Never talked about sex. In fact, I have early memories of hearing the song Faith, I think, by George Michael as a kid. And thinking it was like pretty scandalous, you know, and then therefore like being kind of scandalized by sex for the rest of my adult life.
My name is Jack Shepherd. I'm British by birth, and so incredibly reticent and awkward talking about any topics like that. And I remember hearing the song, Let's Talk About Sex, Baby, and thinking, no thanks.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah, actually, let's not.
That is a good song. Despite the, like, sort of blue language.
It'd be funny, you know, it'd be funny if they censored it. Let's talk about beep, baby.
It would be funny, Tipper Gore.
So we're going to take this famously sexy myth about a guy fucking a statue, and we're going to make it palatable for folks who, again, are listening to this at the dinner table with their family. And I'm sorry, I said guy fucking a statue about 7 times in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I was talking about him jerking off to it earlier.
Let's go.
I don't know which one's worse. I guess they're sort of the same thing. No,
I'm
going
to read this out to you. It's fairly short.
It crosses a line, I guess.
It's shorter than your traditional sex scene in a romance novel. And you just get your red pen out and we'll correct it as we go.
Okay.
Great. When Pygmalion saw these women living such wicked lives, he was revolted by the many faults which nature has implanted in the female sex.
I guess we like... Oh, we shouldn't say that last word.
Yeah. Many faults which nature has implanted in... What's that game you were talking about? War Pigs?
Yeah, War Pigs. Let's look up some characters.
Does that have some
pigs.
Like glitches in there?
This will give me a chance to go back and actually look up what it was called. Hogs of War. So
Hogs
much better.
War. So completely unlike Pygmalion.
Let me say Hogs of War like 4 different... Hogs of War.
Who's the creator of that
Hogs
game?
Hogs of War. Hogs of War. Hogs of War.
Stop
Hogs
doing
of
that.
War.
Stop it.
I was doing that to get pickups and so you could paste over.
Oh, I see. So who's
Hogs of War, a pig-shaped collection of islands located in the South Pacific Ocean known as Sausage Australia, has been found to be rich source of swill, depicted like oil being harvested by pump jacks, that is described as the lifeblood of pigs, and that whoever controls the swill controls the world, thus leading to all nations engulfing in an all-out war to conquer the region. The chosen nation squadron battles through each of Australia's five main regions: Hogshead, Australia, Trotsville, Belliopolis, and Austria. Ooh, a little naughty.
That is naughty. Okay, who's the publisher?
Oh, great games. Gremlin Interactive.
Okay, so tell me if this sounds right. When Pygmalion saw these women living such wicked lives, let's just say when Pygmalion saw these Hogs of War at the GameStop.
Yeah, let me go. You want me to look up the names of the teams?
No,
I can for you.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
When Pygmalion saw Hogs of War at the GameStop, he was revolted by the many faults Gremlin Interactive.
Gremlin Interactive is,
had implanted in the game.
Yeah, I'm on the Hogs of War wiki now.
Yeah. Great, that's super useful.
Teams. Yeah. I thought I'd just give you a little more fodder here, you know? The Garlic Grunts.
No, it's not helpful.
Okay. Yeah, now I'm realizing now that they're all tied to nationalities, too. And I'm thinking some of them are probably pretty offensive.
He had long lived a bachelor existence without any wife to share his home. That tracks. You know? Gamergate.
Yep.
But meanwhile, with marvelous artistry, he skillfully carved a snowy ivory statue. That's fine, right?
So far, it's okay. Although it's like...
It's starting to sound sexy.
It's creeping in.
He made it lovelier than any woman born and fell in love with his own creation.
What if we made him... I know we're down this like Hogs of War thing.
Yeah, we can abandon it if you want.
Yeah, I would love to. Mostly because I'm looking at, now I am definitely looking at the team names, and they are definitely super racist.
Okay,
so now
perfect.
I disavow ever even playing this game on PlayStation 1 when I was 10. You remember, you know those like, they like have them in like martial arts gyms? They're sort of like punching bags, but they're mostly just the head and torso of like an aggressive looking man with like a buzz cut.
Sure, yeah.
And you do like martial arts on them.
Yeah.
What if he's making that instead of like a sexy woman? Just to kind of like at least take the like, you know, he could just be making this to like train on.
But meanwhile, with marvelous artistry, he skillfully crafted a martial arts dummy with a buzz cut.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's fine.
To practice on.
He made it lovelier than any woman born and fell in love with his own creation. The statue had all the appearance of a, I guess, should we say guy with a buzz cut?
Well, sort
just
of
to
like
fit the narrative.
The upper torso, armless guy with a buzz cut.
Okay. So that it seemed to be alive, to want to move, did not modesty forbid.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, is that too sexy?
Well, here's where it does get sexy. So cleverly did his art conceal its art, Pygmalion gazed in wonder, and in his heart there rose a passionate love for this image of a human form. Often he ran his hands over the work, feeling it to see whether it was flesh or
ivory. I think this is just where we turn it into like a cool training montage, where it's like, instead of feeling love for the figure, he feels like motivated.
Okay, great.
To train. And then he does, instead of, what's the next thing he does?
He kissed the statue and imagined that it kissed him back.
No, kicked it. Kicked. That's an easy change. Kicked it. And imagined it kicked him back. Obviously, you'd have to imagine it doesn't have legs.
Spoke to it and embraced it and thought he felt his fingers sink into the limbs he touched so that he was afraid.
Swore at it and choke held it.
Okay, that's...
You're worried this is too violent? It's for training.
Yeah, it's a little bit violent. It's becoming a little bit violent. And it's also like, I feel like this guy could stand to be a little bit less violent. He's already seems like he like lives in his basement.
All right, fine. What should he be carving then? You know, speaking of my Midwestern upbringing.
Yeah.
One thing I've seen carved live is big block of butter.
Big block of butter?
At the state fair.
The world's largest big block of butter?
Yeah, at the state fair every year, the young woman who wins, like, Miss Minnesota or whatever, poses at the state fair, and someone chisels their likeness into a big block of butter for everyone to kind of sit and admire. So I don't see anything, like, inherently sexual about that, although I, you know,
I guess I should be writing this down, huh?
I guess so. I still have the Hogs of War Wikipedia page up, so I can't really take notes.
So let's just have him go. We'll go when Pygmalion saw the Hogs of War.
Okay. We're keeping them in.
Living such wicked lives.
And yeah, and let's say they're canceled, just so we could just disavow them.
Yeah, that's what living such wicked lives, already that. He was revolted by their many faults. That's fine.
Yeah.
He had long lived a bachelor existence. This is fine.
Nothing wrong with that. At some point, we start to swerve, right?
Well, here's what we'd do now, without any wife to share his home. This just fits the profile, doesn't it? I'm going to say at GameStop, just fine. To kind of paint a picture. He had long lived a bachelor existence without any wife to share his home. Meanwhile, we're just abandoning the dummy. Meanwhile, with marvelous artistry, he carved. Should we say carved? What do you do with a slab of butter? He sculpted.
Sculpt. Sculpt is right.
The world's largest
block of butter.
Block of butter. Should we say for the state fair?
For the Minnesota State Fair, I think that thoroughly removes any kind of sexual connotation.
Yeah, it's not sexy at all.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. He kissed the butter and imagined that it kissed him back.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm thinking about someone kissing butter, and I guess it's not... Again, it's not immediately sexy to me, but I suppose if someone did it the right way.
Okay.
I don't know what that way is.
I think we can keep that in. Spoke to it and embraced it. That's fine. It's butter.
Yeah. It's just part of his method.
And thought he felt his fingers sink into the limbs he touched so that he was afraid lest a bruise appear where he had pressed flesh.
They would do that. They would not bruise. I think your finger would just go right into butter. I also think they mostly just stick to, like, at the Minnesota State Fair, they mostly stick to, like, collarbones up.
Okay. Shall I say into the collarbone?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sometimes he addressed it in flattering speeches. Sometimes brought the kind of presents that just butter, that butter enjoys. It's a little bit weird. Maybe we'll just cut that part out.
Yeah, we'll just cut that part. That part's not essential to the story anyway.
He dressed the limbs of his statue in woman's robes. That seems fine.
Seems fine.
He dressed the butter. Let's have something a little bit less evocative. Let's just say in a robe.
Yeah, that's fine.
A bathrobe? A non-sexual bathrobe.
I think that's good.
An unsexy bathrobe.
What's the opposite of alluring?
Unsexy.
Unalluring.
An unalluring bathrobe. That's great. He dressed the butter in an unalluring bathrobe. Pearls hung from its ears and chains were looped upon its breast.
Jesus.
I don't think we can have that.
I don't think we can have chains on the butter at all. I think that's too heavy. I think we'll just have to do like... Well, we already said there is no... Because it's kind of collarbone area.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll just cut that line.
Okay, we'll cut it. That's great. All this finery became the image well, but it was no less lovely unadorned. Pygmalion then placed the statue on a couch.
I mean, it's not great for your couch.
Okay, so this is the sexy part, and you have to listen closely because Ovid is being kind of winky-wink here. Pygmalion then placed the statue on a couch that was covered with cloths of Tyrian purple, laid its head to rest on soft down pillows as if it could appreciate them, and called it his bedfellow.
How interesting.
Yeah. That's that's doing it.
I know. I'm obviously incredibly, like, horned up right now just by that description. But yeah, I think that's definitely not great for your couch. It's definitely not great for your bed.
Not good for butter either.
I think it's going to be murder for your complexion if you like then put your head on that pillow like the next night.
Okay, so we can't have him calling the butter bedfellow, right? I'm gonna shorten
this
too.
Okay. Obviously, there's the problem that this is too sexy.
Yeah.
There's a secondary problem that it's fucking IP infringement.
He laid the butter sculpture down on. How big is this thing?
Like, I would say twice the size of a human head. So okay. Like 2x.
Can I just say on a plinth?
That's where they do the carving.
On a plinth, and then called it his, and then we could just have something that's not bedfellow, which is very sexy, and as everyone knows. Called it his.
I guess we can go back to like Hogs of War if you really want
I don't. I was kind of glad that we got away from it. What do they call things in Hogs of War? That's not racist.
You wouldn't want to know.
Okay, yeah. What about just what's like a thing that's like prize winner or something like that?
Oh, like blue ribbon.
Blue ribbon. There we go. His blue ribbon babe.
Babe's a little aggressive. He's sexy. Friend? Oh, you want alliteration.
I would love something beginning with B.
Ball
bud.
League.
Bud.
No.
Blue Ribbon Bud.
Yeah, Bud. Good.
Okay, this is great. So, let's see. Basically, what happens next, and I just won't read all of it because it gets pretty flowery, is that he goes to the Festival of Venus and
this is
prays...
Post-coital?
Yeah, prays to the gods that the statue will come alive, basically.
Oh, I don't think you'd want that for one of these butterheads.
So we'll go to the Minnesota State Fair, right? The Minnesota State... This is working. Fair. Yeah. Which is celebrated...
Feels like it. And we still have the Hogs of War stuff at sort of the front end of the story.
Yeah, it's up
there.
Kind
of like a little...
Yeah, it's in there. It's a little
prologue.
Tease.
Prologue.
Celebrated with the greatest pomp, and this is true, all through Minnesota. Just say the Midwest.
Say the Midwest.
Yep. Midwest was now in progress.
Okay.
And heifers, their crooked horns gilded for the occasion, had fallen at the altar as the axe struck their snowy necks. Does that sound right?
It's certainly violent. And I don't know if the two prude dudes are... I guess not.
I've never been to a state fair. I think we're okay with this.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice language, too. I hate to change it.
Well, and it's not. It's certainly not sexy, no.
Yeah, and that's our main mandate here. Struck their snowy necks. Smoke was rising from the incense. So here's what Pygmalion says. If you gods can give all things, may I have as my wife, I pray. He did not dare to say the ivory maiden, but finished one like the ivory maid.
The implications are certainly sexual.
Yeah.
So I don't think we want him wishing that his statue would come to life so that he could have sex with it.
Stood by the... What's something that you have at the state fair instead of altar? Because that sounds kind of archaic.
Well, like, everything's on a stick is kind of the thing about the Minnesota State Fair.
Okay,
like,
give me an example of something that's on a stick at the Minnesota.
A deep-fried Oreo on a stick.
At the deep-fried Oreo stall.
Oh, that would be actually... I mean, that place is really busy.
Okay. Is that okay,
usually
though?
Usually a huge line. I mean, you're going to be waiting a while.
Okay, that's all right. This is our story, you know?
I just maybe put it in there, you know? Just warn people.
Okay, yeah. Pygmalion, having made his offering, stood by the deep-fried Oreo stall despite the long line.
Yeah, that's good.
And prayed that his butter sculpture would win the blue ribbon. Would win the prize. Good?
Yeah, I guess.
Because I think it's if you pray that it will be his wife, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that close to the deep fryers, I think you're probably more just like praying she doesn't melt.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. I'm just going to say what happens next. Venus hears his cries and does make the butter sculpture come alive, and he fucks her, and they have kids.
Christ. This is a story you like? How is this related to Pretty Women?
It's literally what Pretty Woman is based on, certainly. I wonder if people are going to push back on this, because everyone in Rotten Tomatoes said Cinderella. But it's My Fair Lady.
And you're thinking
it's My Fair Lady. Surely okay. It's My Fair Lady.
Yeah, it is obviously My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
And you're saying My Fair Lady is obviously this like story about this guy having sex with a statue.
Yes, My Fair
or
Lady.
Or in our sanitized version.
The musical based on the play Pygmalion.
You know, I'm realizing now
by
that
George Bernard Shaw.
We sort of stripped a lot of the
Hogs of War stuff.
We did end up stripping a lot of the Hogs of War stuff. As I said, I have disavowed kind of my knowledge of that. So
yeah,
no, I'm worried that we maybe like lost a lot of the conflict in the story.
Okay, because
now it's just about a guy who goes to the Minnesota State
Fair.
He
really wants to win.
Carves a bust.
Yeah.
And then hopes it wins a blue medal, a blue ribbon.
Okay. You want
it's kind of just the story of someone who does do that.
Okay.
It's like slice of life. It's like This American Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's too late to turn back now. We can maybe put a little conflict in there. I think we need to come to a close here. And so what do we do here? Do we want to say that it does win?
I mean,
a
I guess what
ribbon?
We say is like...
Should we say it comes alive? That would be directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
I think what we say is, here's what we say.
Okay.
All that happens, right?
Yeah.
The guy goes to the butter, he carves the statue,
yeah.
He tries to win the blue medal.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last minute, the armies of Team Lard invade the Isle of Swill.
Okay.
And kind of like reclaim.
And that's pretty butter related.
I think this is sort of like zooming out. It's sort of like bigger picture. You know, like we saw this one kind of like slice of life story about this... butter sculptor, and now we're kind of like zooming out to the big picture, which is like this world engulfed in war.
Okay.
Over this resource, Swill. And that book ends it nicely, too. It's like Tolkien.
Okay. And the armies of Team Lord and someone else? Is there another one that's not, like, problematic to say?
Oh, gosh. I guess we could say... I mean, I guess you could say Tommy's Trotters. That's what the English team is called.
Great.
I could say Uncle Ham's Hogs.
Meanwhile, the world became engulfed in a deadly war between the armies of Team Lord and Tommy's Trotters.
I don't know why they would be battling against one another. Allies.
Engulfed in a deadly war waged by the armies of Team Lord and Tommy's Trotters.
Sure. I don't actually. We can say Team Lord versus Tommy Trotters.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't remember the lore of the game that well.
And although Pygmalion's sculpture won first place, this feels like we really just kind of zoomed out a little bit too far.
Yeah, we do that sometimes.
Is there any way we could, like, tie it in?
Like, maybe there's a statement we can make about, like, war's impact on art and culture.
Okay. Okay, fine. Here we go. I'm just going to finish it because we have to go. Ushering in an era of...
artistic oppression. Creative oppression.
An era of creative oppression despite the promising butter...
Sculpting.
That was in...
career.
Well, no, I want to say butter sculpting art that was in its infancy.
Oh, the like spark of like buttery expression.
Great, there we go. Spark of buttery
snuffed
expression.
Out in its infancy.
Snuffing out, there we go. Snuffing out this bright spark. I'm going to read it back to you real fast.
I guess we could say, just to like not make it a sad one, because that's like a really sad ending.
What did you say? This bright spark of buttery what?
Expression,
that's great.
And that's a really sad ending, so just to kind of like give it a button, but make it a happy ending,
mm-hmm.
He marries and fucks the butter statue.
Okay, that's fine. And I can't remember why we were doing this in the first place, so it seems fine. He marries and fucks the butter statue. Can I read this back to you?
Yeah, please.
Okay. The story of Pygmalion. When Pygmalion saw the Hogs of War at GameStop living such wicked lives, he was revolted by their many faults.
This is fine. It's sort of like that you're sort of in the narrative universe of Hogs of War there.
Yeah.
Which you kind of like, it's a little it breakneck,
sets it up.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
He had long lived a bachelor existence without any wife to share his home.
So we are out of the narrative universe of Hogs of War. Okay.
Meanwhile, with marvelous artistry, he sculpted the world's largest block of butter for the Minnesota State Fair. He kissed the butter and imagined that it kissed him back. I'm surprised we left that in, but it's too late to change it now. Spoke to
you
it and embraced it.
You said it wasn't sexy. I said it could be sexy if done correctly.
And thought he felt his fingers sink into the collarbone. He dressed the butter unalluring
gross.
Bathrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Then laid it down.
How unalluring.
He dressed the butter sculpture in an extremely unalluring.
Because I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah, still a little bit alluring.
A little bit. Thinking about like a robe hanging off like shoulders and head made out of butter.
Yeah. Okay, I'm doing my best here. He dressed the butter sculpture in an extremely unalluring bathrobe. He laid it down on a plinth and called it his blue ribbon bud.
I would just say set it on a plinth. Doesn't matter. Minor change.
That's fine. Then set it on a plinth. The Minnesota State Fair, which is celebrated with the greatest pomp through all the Midwest, was now in progress. And heifers, their crooked horns gilded for the occasion, had fallen at the altar as the axe struck their snowy necks. Again, I haven't been to Minnesota. I think that's what it's like.
It certainly is like that. I don't know why they're doing it like right there at the state fair.
Pygmalion, having made his offering, stood by the deep-fried Oreo stall, despite the long line, and prayed that his butter sculpture would win the prize.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we zoom out a little bit. Meanwhile, the world became engulfed in a deadly war between the armies of Team Lard and Tommy's Trotters, ushering in an era of creative oppression, snuffing out this bright spark of buttery expression in its infancy.
Wow. It's pretty dark.
Pygmalion did, however, marry and fuck the butter statue.
Perfect. Wow, what a happy ending.
Yeah.
It is a romance after all.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen Pretty Woman...
it's pretty much just that. That was like we sort of fucked up the episode because we actually spent the entire time describing the movie.
Yeah. Got a little bit of time left here. We got about 10 minutes. Do you want to... Do you want to do the
foot arm challenge?
Yeah, I do. I would like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Foot arm challenge, viral trend. At the 14-minute, 50-second mark, Julia Roberts is helping Richard Gere find his way to Beverly Hills.
Okay.
In his car. He's like, this is fine. Mm-hmm. Get in the car. If I get pulled over by the police, I'll just say, she was helping me find my way to Beverly Hills.
Yeah, smart.
But anyway, she says,
you have your foot as big as your arm from your elbow to your wrist. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
It's a little bit of trivia.
Did you know that your foot... I can't quite get there.
So the forearm challenge is to just fucking prove it. Here we go. Put your money where your mouth is.
Your foot is as long as your forearm. You're aware this is an audio medium, right?
Yeah, you'll have to describe it.
Perfect.
And everyone can just do this at home, too. This is a fucking TikTok challenge.
Okay, he's doing it. It's a TikTok challenge. He's putting his foot up. Danner's taking his shoes off for the occasion. He's putting
his shoes in my house.
Okay.
You wear shoes in your own house?
Currently wearing shoes. Let's see. Yep, okay. He's showing me his foot. I see the foot. Now can I see the forearm? He's placed his forearm against his foot, and yeah, I would say
significantly longer.
I would say it's close.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody, please tweet about this episode with hashtag footarm challenge.
Footarm challenge. Look at this.
Yeah, he's put his foot up against his forearm, and it's sort of like, yeah, no, the forearm's a lot longer.
Forearm's definitely longer. A lot longer.
Okay, great.
So I lose the footarm challenge. Are you going to do it?
I guess. I guess you describe it.
I've lost.
Okay. It's hard to do.
And I guess if you lose the footarm challenge, you nominate someone else. So I nominate Jack Shepard. Okay. God, this is going to spread like fucking wildfire.
Ow!
Can you see my call foot? TikTok and apologize. Yeah, a little bit.
I can't... How did you do it?
I guess I'm just more flexible than you. Wow, Jack is so inflexible.
I think it's the same size. Ah!
You win.
Okay.
You still have to nominate someone.
I nominate...
Do a celebrity, Ellen.
Julia Roberts!
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I think Ellen's canceled anyway. Footarm challenge.
Yeah,
I think we use this podcast. I have a lot of fun doing this podcast with you, and I think it's provides a valuable service to the sex bugs and the mm-hmm. bed pots.
Yeah, this has been a particularly useful one.
I think it's nice to kind of have like a side gig launching these viral challenges. Just seeing what we can get to take off.
Yeah, try to do the footarm challenge. Film it. Place it in the comments. Put it on TikTok.
Put it on TikTok, yeah.
Yeah.
Nominate Ellen. So
let's get this going.
To do that.
Let's get this started.
You want to do burns?
Yeah, let's do some burns here. I guess I'll go first.
Burn of the week. Jack, I fucking paid you for an hour and a half. I need you.
I said burn of the week. Let's see. I'm just looking for my burn. Here it is. Ready?
Yep.
It's early on. Richard Gere, for all the gearheads out there, that's your king. That's your king.
G-R-E. Yeah.
Has picked up Julia Roberts under the pretense or reality that he needs her to give him directions. And I guess he also knows that they're probably going to have relations back in his hotel. It's kind of unstated, but that seems likely at this point.
It's sort of confusing.
He knows what he's doing.
You sort of think he's going to take her in just to like be a nice guy.
Yeah.
But then they do end up having this kind of psychosexual adventure with I Love Lucy.
Yeah. And he's like,
no, I want to find Beverly Hills. Can you give me directions?
She goes,
sure. For $5.
Ridiculous.
Price just went up to 10.
And he says,
you can't charge me for directions.
And then she says,
I can do anything I want to, baby. I ain't lost.
So good.
It's so good.
She nails it.
She fucking crushes it.
She kills it. Later when they end up, this is my other burn. He kind of reverses the burn because when she enters his world and she's sort of like, she's dressed like someone who would be getting the attention of a gentleman on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in the lobby of this very fancy hotel and everyone's kind of scandalized. And they're standing by the elevator waiting and there's a couple of like old stiffs there.
Yeah.
And the elevator doors open and she jumps in and there's a little couch and she jumps on and she's like,
well, color me happy. There's a sofa in here for two.
Like just trying to be as obnoxious as possible in front of these like hoity-toity rich people.
That's good. And they're all scandalized.
And Richard Gere turns to them and this is the burn. And he says,
first time in an elevator.
Good, a lot of burns in this movie. They do fall in love. Pretty Woman is Julia Roberts and Richard Gere is Richard Gere and George Costanza's in it. Have we said everything? It's time for us to leave now, and I would like to leave and go. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank the Bee Babies, so very much for bearing with us. We do love and kiss you all day. And
sex bugs, bed yes. pots.
This week we watched a film. The film we watched was called Pretty Woman. Next week we've decided in advance we're going to be watching Sense and Sensibility, with the Ang Lee version. That's one
of
the greatest.
Like,
all-time
we
greats.
Like mental mapped out together in this moment of like pure synergy.
Yeah.
Like just agreed on like what the next 3 weeks of our lives would look like.
Pretty good.
Like already forecasted our moods, and I think we're spot on so far.
Spot
I'm really
on.
Looking forward to Ang Lee's
Sense and Sensibility. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I've seen it. I love it.
All that remains for me to say this week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope that you find your shopping spree ever after. Best I could do.
Well, it was pretty poor.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I have to go see what my dog's barking at because no one else okay. is home and all my doors are open. I'll be right back.
Okay.
My neighbors across the street had the fucking gall to check their mail.
Outrageous.
Be merry!